I spent a lot of time on this channel talking about the nature of life essentially coming down to cope, specifically coping with our rather unique and interesting circumstance of being one of the few, if only, animals on planet Earth that is aware of its impending doom, i.e. its annihilation, i.e. its death. This is sometimes referred to as mortality salience, and however you refer to it, it is the defining factor of our existence, and basically everything we do, on some level, is an attempt to cope with that circumstance. And these days, obviously, there's a lot of discussion about cope. This is cope, that's cope, everything's copium. And on some basic level, that's actually true. But for all the times I've talked about cope and the nature of existence as a human being, being a giant cope, in order to stave off the fear, the thoughts, and ultimately just attempting to not think about the reality of your forthcoming doom, I've never really talked about in detail what these copes are. What are the copes that people engage in? What are the quote-unquote best copes? Now, let me say at the outset that I'm not very good at sequential order things, you know, top five, top ten. I've never been particularly good at that. People ask me, well, what's your favorite film? I don't really have one. I have a couple that I like a lot. What's your favorite video game? What's your favorite this or that? What's your favorite food? I'm not very good at that. So I'm about to talk about the copes that I think are the most powerful copes that humans engage in order to deal with this somewhat unique circumstance I've discussed, you know, awareness of our forthcoming doom, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not going to be a top list. It's not going to be a top five, a top 10, or anything like that. The other thing I wish to draw your attention to is that a lot of these copes are not choices you make, you know, whether you choose to have steak or eggs or ham and cheese sandwich, that's a choice you make, right? Most of these copes are things you either feel or believe in automatically, i.e. vis-a-vis your psychology, i.e. vis-a-vis your genetics, or you don't. You can't just choose most of these copes. They simply are copes you engage in because they happen to sync with your innate psychology as an individual. So again, this is not a top list, and these are not quote-unquote voluntary copes for the most part. All of that notwithstanding, I think I will start with what I regard as possibly the most powerful best cope there is out there. And this is very much one that you cannot choose to believe in or to have or to engage in. And that is the cope of sincere religious belief. Sincere religious belief, or delusion, depending on your perspective, obviously, is almost certainly the most powerful cope in human existence. And it goes without saying as to why, right? Sincere religious belief confers upon you this ability to believe death has no ultimate meaning other than moving on to a new place, a better place. It takes away the sting of death. It takes away the sting of annihilation. Because if you're sincerely religious and believe that souls exist and that the contents of your mind are not really dependent on your brain or your body or any of these things, right? Then basically you've won. You've cheated death effectively. And if you really believe that, sincerely believe that, you've won the belief lottery. Like I said, Uncle Jimmy died. Well, Uncle Jimmy is still here. In fact, he's in the real place, the eternal place, right? He's in heaven or hopefully not hell. In any event, depending on the variety of religion you believe in, your mileage will vary. But if you take something very conventional like most forms of Christianity, then yeah, death doesn't really have any meaning because you're moving on, presumably, hopefully, to a better place. And you literally believe that a soul contains all the information of your former personhood, and that this life we're living right now is just a brief, brief passageway, you know, through a tunnel until the light of eternity. If you really believe that, then you have, in some sense, defeated death. And in fact, that is the nominal claim of a lot of these religions. And if you look at the scriptures of Christianity, they loudly proclaim this constantly, that Jesus defeated death and those who follow him will defeat death and all these things. So sincere religious belief is probably the most powerful cope out there because it takes away the whole reason why people are coping to begin with. It takes away the fear. It takes away the worry. Everything's going to be fine. And on top of that, you have this all-powerful, omnibenevolent, omniscient guardian that invigilates over you and safeguards you against everything, potentially. And he loves you. He loves you more than any human being could ever love you, no matter how ugly you are, how dumb you are, how addicted you are, no matter what you do, God still loves you. And of course, he is the key to eternal life, at least in conventional religions such as Christianity or Islam or what have you. So you have that on top of defeating death itself, vis-a-vis God. And then, of course, in many cases, you have the benefits of organization and community, which is also a very powerful cope. These are probably more secondary effects than they are primary effects, but they're also beneficial, at least in the context of the brief life before the eternal life, so to speak. So sincere religious belief, or delusion, depending on how you look at it, is probably, possibly the most powerful cope out there. I have to tell you, I've often, very often, wished I could truly believe in this sort of thing. But I think it's an utter delusion. I don't think there's any evidence to support the idea that your soul shrugs off your body and the contents of your mind and physiology is further prolonged into an eternal afterlife. I don't think the evidence for a god or deities is particularly good for that matter. And I just can't believe in this stuff. It's a bunch of mumbo jumbo and nonsense to me. However, that doesn't stop me from wishing I could believe in this, because it's so powerful. It's such an amazing cope. And indeed, this is one of those things that you either believe in or you don't, largely due to your innate psychology, which itself, of course, is a consequence of your genes and environment, which you have no control over. Are there some downsides? Of course, there are downsides. You have the potential of ideological overreach. You have the potential for political abuse, vis-a-vis things like the Catholic Church during its apogee in the Middle Ages. And if you can't compartmentalize the belief in a healthy way and divide up the quote-unquote good with the bad, you can really, really suffer from it immensely. Matter of fact, my friend Adam Jensen, some of you might remember him, he passed away, self-deleted, 8 years ago. He was the product of an evangelical household. And the stuff about hellfire and torment, it really, really messed him up. And I think it was part of the reason, ultimately, why he developed this depression. It amplified his alcohol addiction and all these other things. And he ended up, as I said, self-deleting 8 years ago. So it's not all good, but everything has its downsides, including copes. But yeah, sincere religious belief or delusion is probably the most powerful cope out there. What's another cope? Not nearly as powerful, but another big cope for human beings is legacy. Now, I've never really understood this one either, and by that I mean on a personal level. It just doesn't vibe with me, sync with me. But a lot of people are intensely interested in producing a legacy, you know, something that outlives them, something they believe will go on into perpetuity, basically forever, or at least outlast them into further generations of their own offspring. Now, this is somewhat related to the religion cope, because it directly taps into that mortality salience, that fear of our inevitable doom, our death. The desire for legacy is the desire to supersede that, to overcome that, to basically surpass it by taking something from the now and moving it down into the future. Now, that's all well and good. I understand the thought behind that, but when you really look at the details, legacy doesn't really work. I also think it's a bit delusional, because given enough time, nothing lasts. And just because your children or grandchildren are aware of something you've done or what have you, doesn't mean 10 generations down the line they will be. And a big part of this is genetic legacy, obviously, which is synced up with, you know, the natural desire to reproduce in most individuals and most animals. However, even that is a bit of a cope, because with enough generations passing, say many dozens, you are no longer genetically related to your descendants because of various effects like genetic recombination and similar such things. And in that sense, your genetic legacy is, well, kind of dead on arrival eventually. So that can't work. And generally speaking, we don't really think about the people that lived 300-400 years ago that might have produced a lineage leading up to us, or for that matter, the things they did. Maybe you had some Uncle Smith 500 years ago in England that built an impressive looking house. You don't know anything about it. Maybe that was his legacy. Maybe that was the pride of his life at the time. And everyone in this local village or town was astounded and thought, wow, this is amazing. However, again, legacies don't last. It's basically just a cope. People are looking to perpetuate themselves into the future, but there's no evidence long-term that it actually has an effect. So again, a powerful cope for those who believe in it, but I don't see the evidence for its actual reality on the ground, so to speak. Okay, what's another powerful cope? Another powerful cope is sincere belief in the spirituality, the supernal or ethereal nature of love, or the love bond. Now, it is true that quote-unquote love exists, but what I'm talking about is not the physiological, biological, reproductive aspect of love here, although it obviously ties into this, but rather people's belief in a spiritual, elevated, higher nature to love. It's not just about the birds and bees. It's not just about reproduction. Indeed, it's not about having brutal sexual selection criteria, such as women not selecting short or unattractive or poor men. It has nothing to do with anything like that. Love is a higher calling. Love is a spiritual thing that exceeds our base biological nature. So when you believe in that type of love, when you believe it's not attached to or delimited by certain biological realities, the nature of reproduction, the prerequisites that both males and females have in interacting with each other, when you believe it's a higher calling, then that is a form of peak cope. Because you know the phrase, right? Love conquers all, amor vincit omnia. It's a Latin phrase, obviously, very famous. I mean, people have believed in the magic of love for a very long time. You have ancient Greek poetry written by Sappho. You have the Roman poets, such as Ovid. And then, of course, you have the troubadours during the Middle Ages who sang of courtly love and the magical, enchanted nature of those feelings. Now, it goes without saying, if you actually believe in that type of mumbo-jumbo, that is an amazingly cool and powerful cope. However, the difference between the spiritual love cope and the previous two, especially sincere religious belief, is that spiritual love will inevitably, invariably run into problems trying to somehow maneuver around the biological reality of love and what it's predicated on. Hormones, neurotransmitters, physical signals and signs of fitness and health, things of that nature. Because when you have this notion of quote-unquote spiritual love, it tends to a little bit universalize the concept. Now, there is the sort of human love that allegedly Jesus embodied, you know, loving human beings in the sort of parental sense. But even the spiritual sense of erotic love tends to do that a little bit, and also tends to deny the manifold criteria that many human beings have, especially women, when it comes to selecting partners. It is a job. There's nothing spiritual about it. You have your CV, although for the most part you haven't done very much to build up your CV. Your CV is simply what you were given in the cradle, so to speak. But you have your CV, you present it to the world, and sometimes you pass and sometimes you don't, depending on how good that CV is, i.e. how good you look, how healthy you are, how smart you are, and just quote-unquote all the good stuff that goes into being a qualified partner, right? There's nothing spiritual about it. But when you believe in this stuff, and women are really good at believing this stuff, I'm sure you've heard of this nonsense, eat, pray, and love, then, yeah, it's a really powerful cope. Now, both men and women believe in this type of spiritual love, albeit for different reasons and albeit in different ways. Women, for example, tend to have these criteria, these many criteria when it comes to mate selection, but never think about it actively. So they don't think that they're picky or choosy. Again, men that they don't find attractive are simply invisible. So they apply the spiritual love thing to a very few select individuals, and they're very good. Women are very good at avoiding meshing biological reality with their own personal superstitions and delusions. Men have this too, albeit in a different form, as I said. Men believe in the kind, sweet, gentle nature of women. You know, women are heavenly creatures. Of course, this is derivative of the women are wonderful effect, but ultimately, whether it's a male or a female, believing in some sort of spiritual or ethereal component to quote-unquote love, physiological, reproductive love, is a form of powerful cope. And if you can believe in it, I guess you're pretty lucky. But on the other hand, you can at times run into conflict with reality, as it will happen that the biological, physiological reality will slap you in the face eventually. But if you're good, and you're particularly delusional, you can keep on believing in this and you're Gucci. Okay, one final powerful cope that is much more recent, although it has its origins in something older, and that is entertainment. As I've just alluded to, it has its origins in something older. Entertainment has been around forever, you know, in the form of storytelling, oral poetry, the bread and circus of Rome, all these things. But entertainment now is at its peak in the sense of there's so many forms of it, so many options. You have films and series, you have video games, you have live entertainment such as plays and sporting events, you name it. All these things exist to distract us, to take our minds off from the unpleasant reality of life and that underlying reality that eventually we will cease to be. And all that content that used to exist that was you will simply disappear. And in terms of copes, it's obviously not as powerful as sincere religious belief, or the belief in legacy, or even the belief in spiritual ethereal love, but it can do a whole lot of work for you. I mean, there are games out there that are super immersive, super distracting, and you can get lost in them, and you forget about real life for a while. Now, eventually, like with anything, life catches up, the bills come in, you fall ill, the things you have to attend to, but for a while, entertainment, video games, movies and series, and even outdoor events can be a nice distraction, temporary distraction from the underlying reality that we all have to face. But this is, as I said, the weakest of copes, and it can be addictive too, and that can lead to making your life even worse than it already was before you began with the addiction in the first place. This is also probably the least delusional of the copes, unless you actually believe in the content of the fiction you're engaging in, which is very rare. But it has the downside of something I've observed, namely, the less delusional something is, the less powerful a cope it tends to be. Which is why sincere religious belief, the belief that souls continue on in perpetuity, that they have all the content of your mind and your physiology and everything in it, and this life is just an illusion, that's a hugely powerful delusional thing to believe in, but it does a lot more work than simply getting lost playing the latest Final Fantasy game, if you get my drift. Anyway, I thought it'd be interesting, maybe even illuminating, to go through what I think are the most powerful copes out there. Obviously, you can't choose a lot of these, with the exception of entertainment to varying degrees, but even then, your innate psychology will guide you to certain types of entertainment over others. But as everyone likes to say these days, it is what it is. There you have it, life's most powerful copes, in my humble opinion. But as always, thank you for tuning in. Many special thanks to my very generous patrons on Patreon and my generous donors on PayPal. You guys are the best. Without you, this channel could not exist. Thank you so much. And if you can engage in the usual YouTube jazz of liking the video, sharing the video, leaving a comment, everything's helpful. Subbing, if you're not yet a sub, much appreciated. Until the next time, if I'm still alive, I'll check you out then. May the gods truly watch over you. Bye-bye for now. If you liked this video, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you enjoy my content, please consider making a donation or becoming a patron. Thanks for watching.